नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम 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 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं श्रीमतं स्वागता कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः रुदन्तस्तो हि अभद्राणि विदुन्नोति सुदुःसतां नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। By regular attendance in classes on Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service on the personality Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So we are discussing Canto 6, Prescribed Duties for Mankind, Chapter 9, Appearance of the Demon Vritrasura, Text 8. I think we'll try to cover 8, 9, 10 and 11. So 8. Turiyam Cheda Virohena.
Turiyam Cheda Virohena.
Varena Jagrikudruma.
Varena Jagrikudruma.
Tesham Iryasa Rupena.
Tesham Iryasa Rupena.
ब्रह्महत्यापदिश्यते तुर्यं चेदा विरोहेन वरेण जग्रिकुर्द्रुमा तेषां निर्यासरूपेण ब्रह्महत्यापदिश्यते तुर्यचेदा विरोहेन वरेण जागृकुर्द्रुमा तेषां निर्यासरूपेण ब्रह्महत्यापदिश्यते। तुर्यं 1-4 Cheda, although being cut, Virohena, of growing again, Varena, because of the benediction, Jagrihu, accepted, Druma, the trees, Tesha, of them, Niryasa Rupena, by the liquid oozing from the trees, Brahmahatya, the reaction for killing a Brahmana, Pradrisyate, is visible. In return for Indra's benediction that their branches and twigs would grow back when trimmed, the trees accepted 1/4 of the reactions for killing a Brahmana. These reactions are visible in the flowing of sap from trees. Therefore, one is forbidden to drink this sap. Sorry, you should recite, I think. Yeah.
That's for...
Continue? Okay. Yeah, there is no purport for this verse. Oh my God. ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा तदा मह्यं ददाति स्वापदातिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साप्रजातं सगना रघुनाथान्वितं तां सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सगनाललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत् कृपाकमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं द सुप्रीम् पर्सनालिटि आफ् गॉड्हेड् एज़् द फार्म् आफ् सच्चिदानन्द I offer my respectful obeisances unto him who turned the dumb into eloquent speakers and enabled the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Pandu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye वाञ्छकल्पातरोभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर श्रीवासादिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे So 6.88 and let's write once again the translation. So repeat. In return for Indra's benediction that the branches and twigs would grow back when trimmed, the trees accepted 1/4 of the reactions for killing a Brahmana. These reactions are visible in the flowing of sap from trees. Therefore, one is forbidden to bring this sap. 9. शश्वत्कामवरे नामः हस्तुरिया जागृहो श्रियः रजोरूपेण तास्पमो मासि मासि प्रदृश्यते इन् रिटर्न् फार् इन्द्रास् बेनिडिक्षन् दट् दे विल् बि एबल् टु एन्जाय् लस्टि डिज़ायर्स् कण्टिन्युस्लि ईवन् ड्यूरिङ्ग् प्रेग्नेन्सि फार् एस् लाङ्ग् एस् सेक्स् इस् नाट् इञ्जूरियस् टु द एम्ब्रियो वुमेन् एक्सेप्टेड् 1/4 आफ् द सिन्फुल् रियाक्षन्स् As a result of those reactions, women manifest the signs of menstruation every month. Women as a class are very lusty, and apparently their continuous lusty desires are never satisfied. In return for Lord Indra's benediction, there will be no cessation to their lusty desires. Woman accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions for killing a Brahmana. 10. Dravya Guhyo Varena Pasturiyam Jagrihur Malam Tasu Budbuddha Pena Bhyam Dristan Tadharati Kshipan. And return for King Indra's benediction that water would increase the volume of other substances. With which it was mixed. Water accepted 1/4 of the sinful reactions. Therefore, there are bubbles and foam in water. When one collects water, these should be avoided. If water is mixed with milk, fruit juice or other similar substances, it increases their volume and no one can understand which has increased. In return for this benediction, Water accepted 1/4 of Indra's sinful reactions. These sinful reactions are visible in foam and bubbles. Therefore, one should avoid foam and bubbles when collecting drinking water. 11. Hata putras tatasvasta juhavendraya satrave indrashatro vivartasva machiram jahi vidvisham. After Vishwarupa was killed, his father Thvasta performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill Indra. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire, saying, O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay. There was some defect in Thrusta's chanting of the mantra because he chanted it long instead of short, and therefore the meaning changed. Thrusta intended to chant the word Indrashatru, meaning O enemy of Indra. In this mantra, the word Indra is in the possessive case, and the word Indrashatru is called Tatpurusha compound or Tatpurusha samasa. Unfortunately, instead of chanting the mantra short, Thrusta chanted it long, and its meaning changed from the enemy of Indra to Indra, who is an enemy. Consequently, instead of an enemy of Indra's, there emerged the body of Thrasura, of whom Indra was the enemy. So we find that in verse we start 9.8, that giving a brief background, Indra, he committed a great blunder out of pride to his guru Brihaspati, and as a result of that he lost his kingdom. And then he prays to Lord, and then there's a guidance given to him that you take the help of Vishwarupa, who can be a priest, and through whatever oblations he offers, so that you can get back to your kingdom. But in the process, because Vishwarupa had from his mother's side demonic relationship or relationship with the demons, he was not only offering oblations to the Devatas, but he was also offering silently oblations to the demons because he is related to them as well. As a result, Indra became furious, and then he committed even a greater offense to the Brahmana by killing Vishwarupa. And as a consequence, Vishwarupa had three heads, and then he had to repent. And he repented for 1 year, but then still for purification, whatever was the left out sins, he had to part with it, and then in return he was promising some benediction. And so therefore we find in 9.8, in return for Indra's benediction, that the trees of they accepted these sins, a portion of the sin, so that they get the benediction of when the tree is trimmed, then they can grow once again. And these reactions are visible in the flowing of sap from trees. So I was thinking, why this sap, has anyone seen the sap from a tree? You just go to the tree and you find the sap. And in Andhra, we call it kallu, or in English we call it toddy. So there's a palm tree, and then they cut this, the bottom of the flower stem, and from that oozes the sap. And it is said that when you drink that sap, it's very tasty. But it's allowed to be fermented for a couple of hours or even overnight, then it bubbles up, it ferments, and that becomes, I believe, further tastier, and that they drink it. So therefore we can see that Shastra says don't drink sap or don't take sap, and here people they become intoxicated by taking that sap. But it's also interesting that the sap producing trees include sugar maple, black maple, red maple, silver maple, and so on. And I was wondering, sugar maple we use in the kitchen, and how is it related to this sap? I did not have time to further go through. But then the sap which is produced from the sugar maple tree, it is concentrated, and I was wondering, that's what we use in the kitchen as one of the ingredients for as a sweetener. And so yeah, that is the tree part. Then comes the next verse 9. In return for Indra's benediction, that they will be able to enjoy lusty desires continuously, even during pregnancy, for as long as sex is not injurious to the embryo, woman accepted 1/4 of the sinful reaction. As a result of those reactions, woman manifests the signs of menstruation every month. So therefore, it is continuous desire. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, mean that even after much sexual enjoyment, the woman does not think she has had enough. And so that's the desire. I'm not sure to which woman, which class, at what time this was offered, but then that's the benediction the woman have taken. And in return, there's an exchange in the sense that they need to undergo the monthly cycle. So what it tells us is that in the material world, there is nothing like a freebie. There's nothing like free you get it. For everything, there is a trade-off. So if you're earning money, you're trading your time. If you're doing some other activity, you're trading something else. So when we think that, oh, somebody is giving, and in newspapers, in websites, you find this is being given free to you. But actually, there's nothing free to us, and we need, if you read the fine print, something else is tagged up to that, and we need to pay for it. And that's what we find in the first two verses, that the both the trees and the woman had traded a part of it, and therefore they had to bear the consequences. Then 10. And return for King Indra's benediction, that water would increase the volume of other substances with which it was mixed. Water accepted 1/4 the sinful reactions. Therefore, there are bubbles and foam in water. When one collects water, these should be avoided. And from the chemistry perspective, we know that water is considered to be a universal solvent. Any substance you can put in water, by and large, some particle of that can be dissolved in water. And it says that one collects water, this should be avoided. And this takes me back to my childhood days, when in my native place called Mankini, it's about 150 kilometers from Hyderabad, there was no pipeline for water, nor there was electricity at that time. So the way we used to light our homes in the night time was using the lantern, and not even the gas lantern, it used to be a kerosene lantern. So you pour kerosene and then pump it, and that's how you find it used to light. And that was also expensive, so therefore we had simple lanterns, you pour kerosene to that and you lit the wick, and that gives you a very dim light. And in that dim light, we would spend our evenings. I'm not sure if any of your kids have seen those lanterns and have experienced that part of your life. But that's how I've seen. And then for water, we did not have any pipeline. Although Mankini is in the bank of River Godavari, at that time, no pipeline was laid. And there was a pond called Vagu. So that Vagu was about 2 kilometers from where our place was. I used to walk with my cousins because I grew better part in Hyderabad, but during holidays other times I would go to my village. So there, I would accompany my cousins, and they carry those vessels, big vessels on their head. It's typical brass vessel, one over the other, and there are experts who can keep 3-4 vessels on the head, and then 1-2 on both the hands, and they can walk. So we wonder, is it really possible, or it's only in pictures we see? But I've experienced this with my cousins. They would walk. We would walk to the that place called Vagu, and then you have the steps. You need to get down the steps, and then reach the pit of sand, and then you dig the sand. At a depth of 1.5 feet or 2 feet, you find the water would come. And now I recall that that time when the water comes, the initial part of the water is never collected. Because the initial water part of the water, as it oozes from the sand, you find that it is full of bubbles. So they carefully, with the tumbler they are carrying, they separate that water and the bubbles subside down. And then you can imagine, with a small glass, even as small as this glass or even smaller than this glass, they would dip it in that pit of water, and it's naturally filtered because the water is coming from the sand and then collected into the brass vessel. So four vessels or five vessels keep it on their head and then climb up the steps and then come down and then walk the 2 kilometers to reach home. And that was the water we used to use for drinking purposes. So now I recall, I'm not sure why in those days cousins would not collect the bubbles, but here we find that the bubbles should not be collected because it is a reaction for the sin, and that should be avoided. But equally interesting, today morning I was trying to collect water in the vessel for preparing khichdi. Then as the water comes with the pressure, you find a lot of bubbles come in the vessel. I'm not sure if anyone has experienced that. So then after reading this, I said, let me wait, let the water settle down, let the bubble settle down, and then only I'll place it on the flame. So this is a small change I had to make after reading this purport or the translation. Maybe next time when you, especially Mataji's, when you're cooking, and here the water, when you open, it comes with a lot of pressure, and then with the vessel, you find that it foams up, it bubbles come up. So maybe you should be careful when you collect this water. Then comes leaven. After Vritrasura was killed, his father Tvastha performed ritualistic ceremonies to kill Indra. He offered oblations in the sacrificial fire, saying, O enemy of Indra, flourish to kill your enemy without delay. So commenting on this, Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, Indra became free of the sin after 1 year at the beginning of Ashwina month. Leaving the forest where he performed austerities, he began to observe the ceremonies of that month. Tvastha, hearing of the death of his son out of anger and grief, produced a means of killing Indra. His intention was to kill the enemy Indra, thus he prayed for increase of strength of the enemy of Indra. So, thus he prayed for increase of strength of the enemy of Indra, because he considered Indra as the enemy. The enemy of Indra, if he can produce a demon, so he should be very powerful so that that person or that demon could kill Indra. However, the same words can be taken to mean increase the strength of Indra, the enemy. So it's a pun. The way you recite could alter the meaning. So instead of saying that increase the strength of the enemy of Indra, it says increase the strength of Indra, the enemy. Thus the meaning is opposite, and the word Indra comes from the root in, which means great power. According to its group, it should have a high intonation. Intonation is the way up and down when you are reciting. So however, according to some rules, samasicha, the word occurs in a compound and accent should come on the last word. So it means Indra Shatruhu, the word Indra should have a low intonation. It means enemy of Indra. So when you say Indra Shatruhu, you say Indra Shatruhu. Maybe instead of that, he would have said Indra Shatruhu. So intonation has changed, and with that change of intonation, instead of making the demon as powerful, Indra becomes powerful. So if the word Indra has an accent in this compound, Indra the enemy, this is according to some grammar. So the Tvastha pronounced the phrase with the accent on the word Indra, Indra, and thus the meaning of the sentence became, may the strength of Indra the enemy increase. Indra became the killer of his enemies. It is said in the teachings, mantrahina swarato varnatova mithya prayukto natam artam aha etendraksharha swarto paradhaksa vagvajro yajamanam heenasti. A mantra devoid of proper intonation, ups and downs, and pronunciation with improper use does not fulfill its purpose. Thus, by saying enemy of Indra improperly, the thunderbolt of the words kills the priest because of his offense. So we find that if we look at the four verses as a big picture, it's trying to talk something about the within the modes, or it's trying to talk about the piety and impiety of this material world. It's talking about the piety and impiety of this material world. And the piety and impiety of the material world, it depends on what we do in our material life. So we can create a pious situation or we can create an impious situation. And based on that, we take birth, as Bhagavatam says, Janma Aishwarya Shruta Sri. So whatever Janma, whatever education, whatever wealth, Janma Aishwarya Shruta Sri, the beauty we get, it just depends on what we have done in our previous life. And here Indra, we find that out of anger, he just beheads the Brahmana. And Guru Maharaj, commenting on this particular section, he refers to Bhagavad Gita 16.21, which talks about Trividham Narakasyedham Dwaram Nashanam Atmanaha Kama Krodha Tata Lobha Tasmat Eta Trayam Tvajit. There are three gates leading to the hell: lust, anger and greed. Every sane man should give up these, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. So therefore, out of anger, he has beheaded the Brahmana. Had he waited for a moment of patience, this is a saying, a moment of patience in a moment of anger saves you 100 moments of regret. A moment of patience in a moment of anger saves you 100 moments of regret. So therefore, for every cause, for anything we are experiencing, there is a cause. What we have done in our previous lives, whether pious or impious activity, we need to bear the consequences in this life and in subsequent lives. And that's what we see Indra. He had to pay a price, and equally, we have to pay a price for whatever we are doing. And in order to get relief, he prays to the Lord for recovering back his kingdom. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, maybe Gopinath can remind me the verse where Lord Vishnu says, I feel sorry that you are praying once again for a material comfort instead of asking for pure bhakti. So then we have a choice. Should we ask the Lord for any piety and impiety of this world, or should we pray for a pure bhakti where we can perform devotional service to the Lord? Because whether it is pious or impious, both are binding. So maybe someone is pious in the previous life, therefore in this life you are born in a particular family, maybe in a Brahmana family, in a situation. But even being in mode of goodness in a Brahminical family, that is also binding. We see in the example of, I think, Yudhishthira Maharaj, wherein when Krishna tells him that you say that Ashwadhama, that Ashwadhama has died, but Yudhishthira Maharaj refuses to say that because he felt that he can't tell a lie, because a Brahmana should not tell a lie. He was trying to display as a Brahminical quality and said he can't tell a lie. But bhakti is beyond that so-called good and bad. And unless one rises to the platform of bhakti, one will not be able to break the shackles of this material world. And in impiety, in extreme situation, if somebody is in utter poverty or has got other emotional or physical, intellectual limitations because of the impiousness he had behaved in the previous life, then he too cannot do in the, he cannot do anything. That's also binding for him, and he cannot rise to the platform of transcendence. And here I think if I can give you an extreme situation example. There is one business house in Hyderabad called Pulla Reddy. Pulla Reddy is very well known for sweets made with pure ghee. But we are referring to that particular business house for another reason, that they are, that's a business house which has given the land to Hare Krishna Temple, Radha Madan Mohan Temple in Hyderabad. And Radha Madan Mohan Temple in Hyderabad is located on the prime land of Hyderabad, like this temple, or Melbourne Mahaprabhu Temple is in the prime land of Melbourne. So similarly, that temple is on the prime land of Hyderabad, which is very, very expensive. But yet, he had, I believe, was told that he had or he has now also three sons. And all three sons are trisomic. In the meaning, all three sons are idiots. So what karma or what is that the person has done in his previous life that the children are born with trisomic or they're idiots, and they are idiots to the extent that they would fight with each other and injure each other to that extent on a regular basis. So just to control them, they're always bound with chains. 24 hours they are bound in chains. 24 hours during the daytime when they are awake, they are bound with chains. And it's only at the eating time somebody comes and then gives them food. And then still they are bound with chains and they go to sleep. So you can see that such a person, how can they perform any transcendental activity? So someone who is born with a piety, lot of wealth, also do not perform transcendental activity, exceptions being different. Equally, someone who is born with great impiousness also cannot perform any transcendental activity, and therefore we find both piety and impiety, they are the source of binding in this world. And we have the famous example from in Srimad Bhagavatam, King Riga. King Riga, he tries to perform so much of pious activity, giving charity, thousands and thousands of cows, whatever the brahmanas wanted, he would give them. But in that act, he unknowingly, unintentionally, he commits a mistake, and the result of that was he becomes a lizard in his next life. Because Krishna comes fortunately for him and releases him from the that curse. But what he tries to tell is that whether it is piety or impiousness, both are binding and one should rise above that platform. So therefore here in this verse 10, we find that the father is trying to invoke a powerful demon so that the powerful demon could kill Indra. But in the process of chanting the mantra, he chants incorrectly with an incorrect intonation, laying the focus on one part of the compound word, which they say that Indra Shatru. In that, instead of making the focus on Shatru, he makes the focus on Indra, and therefore, instead of making the demon as powerful to kill Indra, Indra becomes powerful in turn to kill the demon. So there we have what is called how to chant the mantra. There are two schools of thought. One is called Varnavad and the second one is called Spotavad. Has anyone heard this term? I think probably you must have heard it. Varnavad and Spotavad. Varnavad, Varna means letters. Vad means the school. So Varnavad means that school of thought where their emphasis is on the letters, which means that the power of mantra is in the letters. And hence we find that people who can recite these mantras very well, then we think that, oh, this person is highly advanced in Krishna consciousness. And this is how I used to feel as a child. Many brahmanas would come to our place. My father used to give them charity. And these brahmanas, especially coming from a place called West Godavari in Andhra Pradesh, they had that ability to chant or recite mantras with proper intonation. And to hear, it used to be wonderful. They would chant for half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour, depending on our time convenient. And then whatever little we give them, they would happily take and go away. So I used to think, oh, look at this brahmana. They chant so well, so nicely. And maybe one day I should also chant. As a child, these were the thoughts in my mind. So I used to think that they are highly advanced. So in this Varnavad, it is not that you should know the meaning of what they are reciting. They mechanically recite, but they recite with a proper intonation. And because they are chanting the proper intonation or with the proper pronunciation, proper accent, then the mantra can invoke the power, both to the reciter and even to whom it is addressed. Like for devatas, when it is addressed, these mantras, the devatas are subordinate to the mantra. And whether you are performing a dharmic activity or an adharmic activity, it doesn't matter. When you are reciting the mantra properly, then that devata is invoked and devata is forced to give you the blessings. So this is called Varnava. As an example, you can take, I think Chaitanya Charan Das says that you use an equation called E equal to MC square. I may not know the meaning of what E equal to MC square, but so long as I substitute the value for E, M and C, I get the result. So something similar to that, here we find that the person does not know the meaning, but he can pronounce properly, and by that proper pronunciation, he can invoke the power of the mantra. So therefore, from this school of thought, it is said that the recitation of the Vedic mantra, especially the Chaturveda, if you can do it properly, then you become powerful because you can invoke the devatas. But then there is other theory called Spotavak. Spota, it means explosion. So this school of thought says that it is not just in the letters it is having a meaning, but it is the understanding of the meaning of those words which makes invokes the power in that recitation. Say for example, someone cuts a joke. The words I can hear, but if I do not understand what that joke is, I'll never be able to invoke the meaning of that joke, and therefore there's no impact on my consciousness. So sometimes we say that here is a tube light. If the tube light is not the current one, the old conventional tube light, it would take a couple of minutes before it lights up. Especially in India, there is a voltage drop from 220 or 240 to 170, 180, and it keeps flickering for a long time, suddenly it lights up. So similarly, if somebody cuts a joke and we do not understand immediately, but we understand much later, and that time we explode into laughter. So therefore, this is called Spotava. In Telugu, we call it Sputin Chuta or Spotava. So that means that the Varnavad says that the power of the mantra is in the letters or in the words you are reciting properly in an intonation, whereas the Spotava says that it is in the way in which you can understand. If you are not able to understand that meaning or the word, then it does not make an impression or it does not make an impact on the consciousness, and therefore you are not able to invoke the power of the mantra. And in this context we find there was a Swamiji who comes to Srila Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada's disciples, I think Govindam Adipurusham, they were reciting, and that Sanskrit scholar, so-called scholar, he said, your devotees, your disciples are not able to pronounce the Sanskrit properly. Then Prabhupada said that it does not matter, it's not very important. They understand what the meaning is and they've applied that in their life, and therefore there's an impact in their consciousness, and that's what is important. So therefore, in the Chaturveda, when you are reciting, that recitation is important in the mantra, but in Puranas, it is not simply the recitation. Reciting the verses is good. If you can recite the verses proper intonation or with proper accent pronunciation is wonderful. But the emphasis in Purana or Krishna Katha is about understanding the Katha and then making a change in your consciousness. The way you behave, the way you act, and how you lead your life. And that's important. So therefore, Maitreya Muni says to Vidura, when he asks this question, he says, Yata Smriti, Yata Madihi, that I've heard a lot, but as I understood and as I remember, I'm speaking. So what is that I've understood and to what extent I remember, I'm speaking. So this is what is Krishna Katha, and this makes an impact on the audience. So therefore, we find the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.13. If I can figure this out, 1. Yeah. Here it says, the sages in Naimisharanya addressing Suta Goswami, they say, we know that you are expert in the meaning of all subjects except some portions of the Vedas. And thus, you can clearly explain the answers to all the questions we have just put to you. So, in this context, the Prabhupada talks about the difference between the Vedas and Puranas is like that between the Brahmanas and Parivrajaka Acharyas. So, therefore, he said that the Brahmanas are meant for ritualistic purposes, where a Parivrajaka Acharya is going out preaching and to bring about a change in their consciousness. So that's the difference between a Vedic recitation to a mantra recitation to the Krishna Katha being narrated. So they were finally Prabhupada in that purport, or for the verse in that purport, he says, realization is more important than parrot-like chanting, because Suta Goswami was not born in a Brahminical family, and therefore he may have some difficulty in reciting the verses properly as the Brahmanas do, but that doesn't matter. What is important is that he has realized the purport of the literature, and that purport, through his realization, he is able to speak to the sages in Naimisharanya. I find that there is an ashram for Chinnajaya Swamiji in Hyderabad, on the outskirts of Hyderabad. Last time, I think three years back before the COVID started, I was in his ashram. And Chinnajaya Swamiji is from the school of Sri Sampradaya. We call it the Northern branch, that is Tirupati branch. And he's got a huge ashram, about 100 acres of land. And then recently he inaugurated some 200 feet Sripad Ramanujacharya's statue, huge statue that one can see from a long distance. Beautiful ashram. And there he runs a Gurukula, and in that Gurukula children are made to recite the mantras. And I'm not sure why he made them, did not have time to ask them, but the children are given a book, and in that book, I think it's about 400 pages or 500 pages, for 4 years, continuously they are made to recite only those 400, 500 page book, so that you ask a child, you give the, you start the page in a particular verse, from there he can continuously recite the subsequent verses. So any part of the book, you just tell them the starting line and they can recite the subsequent verses. To that extent, they make the perfection. But I'm not sure why Chinnajaya Swamiji, coming from a bhakti school, is making the children recite the mantras that way. So therefore we have seen the meaning can also become an, it can alter. For example, there is a British scholar in Sanskrit who translated Ramayana into English. It was considered to be a fairly good translation, and in his translation he gives a title for one of the chapter as Rape of Sita. And that was, the book was released after it finished its privacy, it became a public domain. That book was available on website, and the scholars, they looked at, they said, how is it possible that this author calls a chapter as a Rape of Sita? And then the English scholars went into the background, because it was 100 years back that he translated. Then they found that the rape has meaning, has many meanings, and one of the meanings is physical abduction. It is not the meaning which we understand in today's context, but it's a meaning with which he had in those days, and in that he had mentioned it. So therefore it actually means that Ravana has kidnapped Sita. But our understanding today is totally different. So therefore what it means is that we need to understand the context in which it is spoken, and therefore only then the power can be invoked. So we have the Varnavar, where the power is in the letters or in the words, and then we have the Spotavar, where we understand the meaning, and that gives the impact on the consciousness. Now, chanting of Hare Krishna mantra, where does it fit in? Is it the Varnavar or the Spotavar? So Rupa Goswami gives a wonderful discussion. Of course, I do not have enough time to go through all that. But then he summarizes that the Hare Krishna mantra, yes, it combines both, but much more than that is because Krishna is omnipresent. And because of his omnipresence, he infuses the Mahamantra with the power. And therefore, it is neither Varnavar nor Spotavar, but it's the mercy of the Lord who has invested his energy in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And therefore, we should all chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Although when we chant, it's important that the intention is important with which we are chanting, but equally, it's also that in some language backgrounds, I believe, they do not have the word, letter called Ra. So therefore, they do not chant Hare Krishna. They say Hale Krishna, Hale Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hale Hale, Hale Lama, Hale Lama, Lama Lama, Hale Hale. So, is it a proper chanting? There it is said that intention is important. So therefore the Bhavagrahi, so even though they are chanting as Hale Krishna, in the beginning, it doesn't matter, because Krishna understands their bhav and accepts it. But As the time proceeds, the intention should be backed with the sincerity of trying to change and understand the proper pronunciation, and therefore that Hare Krishna should become Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, much more discussion can be carried on this part of the mantra recitation. But I think we better stop at this time so that I can take any questions or comment. So summarizing today's session, we find that the whatever we have in this life is based on the pious and impious activities we performed in our previous life. As Janma Shruta, Janma Ishvara Shruta Sri, so with the family in which we are born, the beauty, the wealth and the education, it all depends on, based on our pious and impious activities of previous life. So therefore, one should transcend beyond the pious and impious activities of life by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we have the two schools of thought, Varnavad and Spotavad. So one talks about the power of mantra being in the words, and the other talks about the power being in the understanding of those words. But chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is in one sense combining both, but beyond that is because it's Lord Krishna, of his omnipresence, he has invested his energy in the mantra, and therefore one should chant properly the Hare Krishna mantra and hear. So when you hear, you are showing your attention, and in the process you make your consciousness clear. So there one Prabhupada said that one need not understand the meaning of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. As we, when Harinam party goes on the road, people just dance with ecstasy, although they do not understand the meaning. As Prabhupada says, it is beyond bodily, mentally, intellectual comprehension. But having said that, if one can understand the mantra, then the sincerity with which, the bhava with which one can chant improves dramatically, and therefore the mind is made focused, or it can hear attentively the Hare Krishna mantra. With this, I stop our discussion. Any question or any comment? Yes, Prabhu.
If Drashta has done the wrong pronunciation and Indra had become powerful, so then how can how did the demon come out?
The mantra can invoke the because it is Indra Shatru. Shatru comes, but the Shatru comes with a lesser power. Indra, both words are there. Indra is there, Shatru is there. So Shatru is the enemy. So therefore you are invoking the enemy. The enemy comes up, but along with the, but that enemy does not have the power to kill Indra. Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
What did Kasta do after even Vritrasara died? So then what did he actually do? Did he just leave the thing alone, or?
So then what did
Drashta do after Vritrasara also died?
What did Drashta do after Vritrasara died? That part I don't remember. I don't remember now. Anyone remembers what happened to Drashta? No, I'm not. I was, no, I don't remember now. This is long back. Sorry, maybe I'll read and then tell you what it is. Thank you. Yeah. Any other? Yeah, Prabhu.
I was told this story of Prabhupada in LA when they were doing a recording from devotees. And one of the devotees was pronouncing Rama, it was like Ramo. And Prabhupada struck him in the chest. I was like, it's not Ramo, it's Ramo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, what do you think about that?
That's true, that
to start with
somebody, as we said, took the example, Ale Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Ale Ale. Because in the language, that word Ra is not, the letter Ra is not there, and therefore the person starts in the beginning with difficulty, Ale Ale. But then when the at that time, the bhav is taken by the Lord, he reciprocates, because he understands that this person is coming with a particular limitation or a background, but he is making a call to him. But when the bhav is there, the intention is there, the person will pick up, will understand what it is. And therefore, he make the correction from Hale to Hare. So similarly, Ramo is not the proper way of chanting, and therefore Prabhupada stops himself from the correction. And then I think Prabhupada also, when he requests Mahamantra Kirtan to be done, he would call a person with the bhav rather than a person with the musical talent. Because musical talent, it means that the person is trying to display his talent rather than the bhakti. So what is important is bhakti rather than somebody's musical talent or musical sense, because he is carried away within the modes itself. So what we need is transcendence rather than the music aspect. Any question, any comment? Vandana Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.